Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening, everyone. This is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad for Blog Talk Radio. Our show is called Religion Means Alive. And thank you for joining us this evening here on Religion Means Alive. I don't want to get too deep into the conversation, but I'll give you a brief synopsis of what the show will be about. Also, if you have questions and you want to speak, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll patch you through to hear your feedback and your comments. Tonight's topic is about the rights of the wife from her husband, according to Islam. Now, on Monday, I did the show, The Rights of the Husband from His Wife, According to Islam. So, you know, everybody say I pick on the brothers, so I let the brothers go first on Monday. So, inshallah, tonight we're going to focus on what the rights are of the wife from her husband. First and foremost, let me thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me life today to be able to, you know, go about my daily business, to have use of my faculties and my limbs, to be able to breathe on my own, to be able to walk on my own. We should say alhamdulillah for all things, because some people didn't wake up in the morning, so we should be thankful for that. Since Maghrib is coming in earlier and earlier during the show, I always break for at least 5 to 7 minutes so that we can pray Salat al Maghrib. So what I'll do is I'll play some Quran while we take that break, and that should be happening in a few moments, inshallah. But there are some common things that we need to realize first and foremost. When you get married, we're not just husband and wife. We are also brother and sister in Islam. So the same rights that you would give to your fellow Muslim brother or sister in Islam, we should also afford those same rights to our husband or our wife. So, you know, I want to just make that clear and understanding that this is not, you know, okay, like once we get married, you know, there's a separate set of rules. No, whatever rules apply to you being brothers and sisters in Islam and those rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us to have for each other, those same rights apply. And plus more when once you become married. Now, today I was listening to a lecture from Imam Shaheed Muhammad. A lot of you are familiar with him. He's from Philadelphia, and he frequents several different masjids within the community. And something that he spoke of, you know, really touched me profoundly, and it applies to the topic for tonight. He said that, you know, even though you have your ups and your downs in a marriage, you know, and some, unfortunately, some, you know, marriages in divorce, it couldn't have been all bad every day. So, you know, think about, like, something that you could take from that marriage and either use it to improve your marriage, or if you're divorced, if you're divorced, use whatever that was to apply the good that you learned from your marriage. Apply that to your current marriage or use that as a leverage in what you're looking for your new spouse. So, you know, it made me think about something that, you know, I shared with my ex-husband. And, you know, one thing that we always came to on a common ground was Salat, you know, when he wakes me up for Fajr, you know, or when it's time for Dhuhr or Asr or Maghrib or Isha, or even sometimes when we did the Sunnah Salat prayers, you know, that was a bonding time for us because we're both submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. We're not focused on each other. We're focused on pleasing our Lord. And, you know, may Allah continue to preserve him and bless him with, you know, what he asked for and what he needs. I mean, so, you know, sometimes we, you know, we have to take in retrospect a lot of the situations that we've been through and, you know, different situations that we experience by being in a marriage, you know. And I had to, give me 1 second here. Okay. I'll wait till the second one goes off. I have one on my laptop, so I'll wait till the next one goes off. It should be going off in a few minutes. But what I want everybody to take from this is marriage is not play with. It's something very serious. And we shouldn't be, and I don't know if you are or if you're not, but we shouldn't be getting married to get divorced. That's not the intention of what marriage is. You know, when you get married, you should be marrying to stay married, not saying, oh, I'm going to get married in, you know, probably 3 years when I'm tired of her or I'm tired of him, you know, I'm going to ask for a divorce. That's not how it works, and that's not the way that it should be applied. Sisters, if you want to listen to the previous recording that I had about the brother's rights that you have to give your husband, you can go on to blogtalkradio.com/emailalpha and look for Monday's date, and that will let you listen to the show that I did on Monday. Brothers, you're welcome to listen to that as well, because y'all get your brownie points and be like, you know, sister said, you know, such and such, and she provided it with Karen and Suna. So, you know, I just want to, you know, make sure that people understand it's also not just a marriage. It's a contract that you're entering into. You're entering, look at it as a job. There are certain things, certain roles and responsibilities that you have to do in your job as well as your marriage, you know, and also that it doesn't have to be so rigid and so structured all the time. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he played with his wives. He, you know, all right, that's the second one. I got a Dan clock going off all over the house. Mashallah. So before we get into that, before we get into Salatul Maghrib, just a note that, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he played with his wives. He entertained them. He wasn't rigid and strict all the time. You know, there's a time and a place for everything, and he did that with his wives. There's various hadiths on how he, you know, entertained his wives and, you know, paid attention to them and, you know, entertained them. Not only that, he interacted with his children, his grandchildren, and so forth. So, you know, we have to be mindful of that, and, you know, we always look to the mothers of the Ummah and also to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as example of what we're trying to achieve. Now, we know that none of us will reach that level, but there's no harm in trying to reach that. In fact, I encourage you to try and reach that, because that's what we want to emulate, the best of the Ummah. We want to make sure that we focus and pay attention to what is going on in the Ummah, and first and foremost, our homes and our wives, you know. For the brothers, the wives are important. She's the foundation of the home. You know, she's the head of the household when you're not there. She's maintaining the house. She's maintaining your children. So those are some important things that we need to, you know, focus on for this call. And then, you know, after we conclude the call, this is something that you can go back and share with your spouse, or, you know, use this as a groundwork, laying the groundwork of when you're seeking a spouse, certain things that you need to know. You may know some things, but you may not know others. So inshallah, you know, may Allah give me tawfiq in this situation and be able to, you know, answer your questions and present this information to you clearly and concisely. And I seek, you know, the pleasure of Allah and not the anger of Allah. And if I misstate anything, please feel free to correct me or, you know, send me an email, inbox me, whatever have you. That is not my intention to provide any false information. So right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to break so that we can go and make Salatul Maghrib, and then we'll come back and conclude the call.
Oh. تخافون أن يتخطفكم الناس فآواكم
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. We had to make salat. That's the most important thing, first and foremost, before we do anything else. So, to get back to the call, today's topic is the rights of the wife from her husband. You know, as I stated before we went to break, that, you know, we are brothers and sisters in Islam first before we are husband and wife, and those are some of the, you know, basic tenets that we should afford each other. You know, we should always show respect to our spouses. Even in the worst of times, we should, you know, show them respect and honor them and, you know, not to cause any harm or, you know, disagreements with them because of certain situations arise, because that's not how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have solved those problems. You know, there's various hadith and Quran on the treatment of the wife. How could you take it once you have entered into one another and they, the women, have taken you an awesome covenant? That's Quran 4:21. You know, it's highly regarded to be married in Islam. As we know, it is half your deen to complete this task. And if you are single and you plan not to get married and you don't want to get married, that is not of the sunnah. To say that you do not want to get married because of certain situations have occurred, that is not of the sunnah. You are required, if you can, to seek out and obtain a spouse. That's sunnah to do that. It's in Quran to do that. So we have to be mindful of a lot of things that, you know, we say without thinking and, you know, don't take the time to understand those things fully and completely. So just the common rights between the husband and the wife are, there are some rights which each of the two spouses have over the other. These include the right to enjoy each other, the right to inherit from each other, the right of confirmation of the lineage of their children. So I had a situation that arose the other day that someone came to me about, you know, a certain question about in regards to their child. Okay, currently the sister is pregnant. Unfortunately, her husband abandoned her, so she's stuck, you know, pregnant with this child, which she can't take care of. So she said that she was going to let her sister adopt the baby. So I explained to the sister as far as the lineage rights, and this is why this is so important. If you do, and this is what I said to her, if you do let your sister adopt the child, and alhamdulillah, her sister is Muslim, but her sister can't bear children, so she's going to let her take her child and raise her child. I explained to her that, alhamdulillah, that your sister is Muslim, but there are certain rights that that child has. That child has a right to know their parents. So when you adopt children, you can't hide the fact of the matter that you're not this child's, that you're not this, you have to make the children aware that you are not their birth parents. And especially for the father, the lineage of the father has to be known in adoption. If you refuse to do this or make that child aware, that is not of the sunnah. That is haram to do that. You must, even in adoption, if I was to adopt a child and, you know, the child got older, I explained to the child what the situation may have been, but I would establish the lineage of that child. I would make that child understand, I am not your birth mother. I am not, my husband is not your father. Your parents are such and such and so. You are adopted, but we treat you as our own. So those are some of the things that, you know, you have a right over one another in that particular situation regarding the children. And I did a whole show on the roles and responsibilities of the parents, which was, you know, it brought some things to light for myself. You know, I have two grown children and I have one minor child, but, you know, you learn new things in Islam every day. So to get more in depth about the rights of the wife. I'll run down them, and I'll try to cover each and every topic. Inshallah, time permitting, we'll be able to discuss those particular topics. Again, I want to let you know, if you want to ask a question or you want to speak, call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I will put you through and honor your question. That's all you have to do is press 1, and I will answer your question, inshallah. So the rights of the wife over her husband are as follows: the dowry or the mare. Some people say it's two different things. Some people say it's one and the same. I'll give you the definition for both instances because it is slightly different. So it's the dowry, support, kind and proper treatment, marital relations, not to be beaten, privacy, justice between multiple wives, to be taught her religion, defense of her honor, the rights of the husband over the wife, which we will discuss, or we already did those. I'm sorry. I'm reading ahead. So for the dowry or the mare. Now, the definition of that, and it comes from Quran, and give women their dowries as a gift. Then if they are pleased to give some of it to you, consume it with good health and enjoyment. That's Noble Quran 4:4. So some people say the dowry, and the dowry, from the definitions that I looked up, the dowry meant a gift to the parents. So your intended or your soon-to-be husband would give a gift to your parents. Now, the definition that I looked up under the mare, M-A-H-R, that is a gift strictly for the wife. She does not have to share this. She doesn't have to disclose what it is. It has to be given to the wife, and it cannot be taken from her, and only in the case of divorce. If you request, you know, request the money back or other certain situations that could occur where you could request the mare back, those would fall within those guidelines. So support. And I'm looking at this from a strictly Islamic perspective. I'm not looking at it in the society that we live in today because it doesn't apply most of the time. Usually, well, within Islamic guidelines, the child is not to leave the house until the child is married off, whether that's your son or your daughter. So up until that time, the child's parents are responsible for them, responsible for their clothing, their well-being, their upkeep. Once the child is married, that responsibility then falls onto the husband or zoj. He is responsible for her support. So here's a quote from the Quran: and upon the father is the mother's sustenance and her clothing, according to what is reasonable. No person shall have a burden on him greater than he can bear. That's Quran 2, verse 233. You have to, and looking into deeper into this terminology of support, there's so much that you can compound on with the word support or the definition of support. Support not only means to clothe and feed and make sure she has a roof over her head, it also means encouraging. It also means helping. So, like, if you see your wife struggling with something, you're going to support her and help her. So support has a various wide definitions of what that means. Also in Ibn Majah, in Hadith, it says that he should feed her whenever he eats and clothe her whenever he clothes himself, that he not hit her face, that he not call her ugly, and that he may not boycott her except within the house. So, you know, this is something very important. very important. So if let me give you an example here. Your husband, your Zoj, is walking around $500 shoes, got $200-$300 robes on. You know, he always dressed to the nine, sharp, make sure, you know, he get his hair cut. You know, everything is perfect. And he tell you, oh, here go, you know, $60. Get what you can with that, not knowing that you want to look just as good as he does. So this is why that verse explains that clothe her with what you would clothe yourself. So if you out there spending $500 on clothes, you should be spending $500 on your wife. And also remember, your wife is a reflection of you. And for the wives, your husband is a reflection of you. You are reflections of each other. People will talk, and you know this. Oh, he got his wife walking around with them cheap overgarments on, and this brother, he, you know, get all his stuff tailored from somebody in New York, you know, sister up there who be, you know, doing all the sharp robes and blazers and stuff. But he got his wife walking around like that, like, yo, that's not cool. So if you're clothing yourself like that, clothe her like that. You're a reflection of each other. And also, as a means of support, there's a hadith that talks about when, you know, a sister went to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she told him that her husband is stingy, that he doesn't help her with the baby, and, you know, he's not providing adequate funds for her. Like, it's a hardship, it's a burden on her to take care of this child by herself and herself, basically because he's not giving no money. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu wasallam told her, take what you need out of it. It's not even considered stealing. If he's not giving you what you need to maintain you and your child, take it, and you will receive no punishment from it. So, brothers, don't be stingy with your money, with your wife and your children. They are a gift. They are a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Treat them kindly and treat them fairly. And treat them equally if you have more than one wife. Also this, if a husband does not support his wife, she has no obligation to fulfill her obligations to him. If a woman goes to a judge and shows that her husband will not support her, the judge may immediately separate them according to numerous scholars. So, again, men are in charge of women because of what Allah has given to some more than others and because they support them from their property. Quran 4:34. And I'll just say this, brothers, and this is off the record, and this is me talking. This is Qadira talking. For the brothers who are listening, I just want you to understand, if you want, and this is how women are set up, because we're petty. We're real petty. And especially if it's that time of the month and, you know, PMS and hormones going on. Also, if, you know, the sister's pregnant. We get real petty. This is, again, why, you know, as I say before, we need two witnesses, two women witnesses, one man witness. And also why we can't pronounce talaq or divorce, because Allah knows how our mouths are. I'm just going to tell you this, and sisters, this is not right for you to do. Don't think Qadira is telling you to do this. Nope, absolutely not. It's completely wrong, 100% wrong. But this analogy will state and will confirm, and a lot of brothers will agree with me, if you don't treat your wife nice and kind, don't expect her to fulfill your obligations. She's going to slack on it, or she's going to outright stop doing it, because she's mad that you're not giving her the rights that Allah Azza wa Jal stated she should get. It's just fact. You come home from work, you went out there and you done bought these Jordans, you done bought, you know, these games for the Xbox or whatever have you. You done, you know, went out with your boys, y'all went to the fight party, this and that, and you ain't asked your wife for nothing. You ain't asked her, does she want nothing. You ain't bought her nothing new in 6 months. You ain't even take her out to dinner. When you come home from work, you like, I sound like him. Look at him. What's, you know, what's going on? Ain't no food cooked? Nope. Yo, her baby, you gotta, yo, I'm starving from work. You know what she's going? Go ask your friend who you was out at the fight party with. Tell them to fix you something. She's going to catch an attitude. The kind of, let me explain something real quick. With women, we're emotional creatures. We're very emotional. And, you know, listening to that lecture by Imam Shahid Muhammad gave me a lot of insight about how Aisha radiallahu anhu would ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam certain things so that she would know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam really loved her. And, you know, women like to hear that. You may say, yeah, what I got to do? I got to tell you every time I love you, every day, like 5 times a day. Yes, because that's what women like. It's not weak. It doesn't show that you're not strong, you're not the man. Women are emotional creatures. We like that. We like flowers. We like candy. We like surprises to be spontaneous with certain things. I'm not going to get in detail with that, but certain things to be spontaneous with. Women like those things. Women don't like a set structure every day. Okay, he come home for work. He going to go upstairs. He going to do his prayers. Okay, you know, he going to sit down. He going to eat dinner. We going to pray, Maghrib or Isha. Or, you know, he goes out to the masjid to do that. He's going to come back. He's going to take a shower. He's going to read some Quran. He going to go to sleep. If that happens every night, I would get bored. I would get bored. There's a lot of things that you can do to entertain your wife in a halal manner. You know, surprise her, you know, find a sister who, you know, does hair or something like that. Or, you know, it's a lot of sisters that bake cakes, that do, you know, different pastries. There's a lot of sisters that sell, you know, accessories and things like that she could wear in the house. Or, you know, outside, you could get her a gift certificate somewhere to her favorite place. You know, if you know your wife like to get, you know, certain kinds of candies and things like that, you know, go to her favorite candy store or whatever, get a gift certificate, pick her up some flowers. Women love flowers. I don't care who you are. You like to see some fresh flowers. You know, I don't care if they're from the grocery store. Bring your wife home some flowers. Support her, encourage her, especially if you got, you know, young children at home, and she's a stay-at-home mother. She's schooling and rearing the kids. She's maintaining the household, and, you know, she's cooking, cleaning. She has your dinner ready for you when you get home. She entertains you. You know, support her with kindness. Show her a smile. Don't be so rigid and so structured all the time. Because women, again, are emotional creatures. We like to be entertained with stuff. Again, if anybody has any comments or questions or would like to speak, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I will patch you through. You know, it's not easy being a full-time wife. You know, and some sisters, this is why they go for polygyny, because they need that break in between. Like, you know, dealing with the brother 24/7, 7 days a week is a bit of a burden on them. So some sisters opt for polygyny for that reason. You know, you entertain your husband on his nights, and then you get that little break on your co-wives' night. So it's not so, you know, like, oh, I got to cook dinner. You know, I mean, you still got to feed the children or yourself, but you get that little break. So next, let's talk about kind and proper treatment. A husband to degrade his wife by speaking to her in a harsh tone or using foul language is not permissible and should not be done. You should not be degrading your wife. You should not be calling her fat, ugly, or whatever. However you see it, she was your choice to marry. Nobody held the gun to your head. Nobody said, oh, you must marry her, because we know arranged marriages in Islam is forbidden. You can't force marry no one in Islam. If people do that, the marriage is not valid, and that's cultural. That's not Islam. People confuse a lot of times culture with Islam. People need to study the religion and know the difference, because that's totally against Islam for arranged marriages. We don't do that. So you have to have kind speech to your wife. If every day you're coming home from work, you're yelling, you're throwing stuff, you're slamming stuff, I mean, you just got a nasty, angry attitude, your wife is not going to be pleased with you. She's going to be upset. She's going to fear you. She's going to start thinking, oh, am I doing something wrong? Like, you know, I had his dinner, his clothes is washed, everything is done, and he's still angry with me, and I haven't done anything. If you're that angry, go make two rakats. Go pray. Go dick or do something. But don't be mean to your wife. Don't talk to her in an ugly manner. And sister, don't talk to your husband in an ugly manner. This goes both ways. If he's talking ugly to you, you don't have to respond back and talk ugly to him. You have to know the leeway, the point to stop that before it escalates into something bigger and festers and, you know, just blows up to something that, you know, could result in divorce. So, you know, speak kindly to your wife. And wives, speak kindly to your husband. You know, deal with them in a just manner. If somebody, and they shouldn't, comes to you and say, oh, your wife hanging out with such and such, I heard she was doing this and that, don't immediately rush home to your wife and chastise her. Don't do it. There are two sides to every story. His side, her side, and the truth. Now, brothers, if you pay your wives enough attention, soon as somebody says something about your wife, you're like, all right, thanks, thank you for bringing that to my attention. You should know your wife well enough to know if she did or she didn't do it. Don't rush home and start bombarding her with accusations and accusing her of doing things. And she's like, I didn't do it. I wasn't even there. Who said they seen me wherever? I wasn't there. And again, sisters, as I talked on Monday about letting your husband know where you are in the case of emergency. And like I said, God forbid, show law, this doesn't happen. You could have been injured in a car accident or, a disaster or something could have happened, and you could have been injured and everybody's asking your husband, where's your wife? Where is she? What happened? Where is she? And sisters, if you're leaving the house and not telling your husband where you're going, these are why these rules and regulations are set by Allah and also by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They weren't just picking stuff to pick on the sisters or pick on the brothers to do. There's a reason behind it. There's hikmah behind it. It's knowledge. You have to seek it out and understand why these things were said and stated. You know, again, if that brother came to you and said he's seen your wife somewhere, I'd question him, why are you worried about where my wife at? Like, he should be meddling in his own affairs with his own wife and not worried about what your wife is doing. And if you know your wife and you know she wasn't there, all right, thanks. Thank you, Shukran. Thank you for that. Thank you for bring that to my attention. You'd be like, I know she wasn't even there because I knew where she was at. It's a reason behind everything. So, again, you know, husbands, you know, there will be times. I'm not going to sit here and lie to anybody. I'm not going to say that every marriage is peaches and cream and everything is perfect and everything, you know, you have a very candid and open relationship and y'all communicate great. And I would be lying through my teeth. No marriage is perfect. You're going to have your arguments. You're going to have your battles. People's feelings are going to get hurt. People are going to be upset. But that's when you take the time to revert back to Quran and Sunnah and look for the solution to those problems. You don't turn to your homeboys, sisters, you don't turn to your girls. You don't discuss marital relations outside your home. Sisters, I'm warning you. Don't talk bad about your husband to no one. Husbands, don't talk bad about your wife to no one. Because the shaitan loves to see divorce. He loves to see a husband and a wife separate. He loves it. Don't feed into it. And also for the reason when people keep coming back telling you stuff about your spouse or whoever, question their motives. Because everybody's not your friend. And a lot of people got ulterior motives about certain things. As they say, tie your camel. Because, sisters, if you're going out there telling your girlfriends about what happens in your marriage, this and that, sister so-and-so could be like, oh, okay, I know they almost divorced. I know he a good brother. And she telling me everything that he don't like. Oh, I'm going to make sure I do what he didn't like with her. Same thing with the brothers. Oh, yeah, I know they about to be divorced. As soon as that sister it up, I'm on that. Like, I know she a good sister. I know about him. I know she a good sister. He always complaining. I already know what she need. Be mindful, be cautious about who you talk to about certain things. And certain things regarding your marriage should not be discussed with your friends, not even with your family. And that's just a fact, and it's you know, in Quran and Hadith. Like, these are things that you don't do. Now, we're going to get into a topic. I should have saved this one for last. I'll save that one for last because that's going to take up a good bit of the rest of the call. I'll review these and hopefully, inshallah, that'll be a good segue to end the call. Not to be beaten. And as for those women from whom you anticipate rebellion, admonish them. Avoid them in the sleeping place and hit them. And again, let's be clear. It's not talking about punch them in the face, knock them out, break teeth, break bones. We ain't talking about that. If they obey you, do not desire and further way to harm them. Surely Allah is knowing and great. That's Quran 4:34. So what that means is, sisters, and, you know, if your husband comes upset with you, he should not be beating you. Beating anyone to a bloody pulp or causing contusions, broken bones, or anything like that that would leave a bruise or mark or anything on you is haram. We should not be harming other Muslims like that. That's a right that you have over your brother or sister before you even get married. So nobody should be beating anybody. And sisters, you shouldn't be putting your hands on your husband either. So I'm not going to just sit there and, you know, state this for the brothers. I'm going to state this for the sisters, because there's sisters out there that like putting their hands on their husband because they know he won't strike them back. Stop it. Because you'll push that man to the limit where he'll knock you out cold and you might be losing some teeth. A man that can show that much restraint is bound to explode at an episode. So sisters, don't press your husbands like that. Husbands, don't beat your wives. I see, let me tell you, people come to me and tell me some things, I'd be like, y'all, like, stop. Stop. Like, I don't even want to hear the rest of the conversation. Like, stop. Like, how you giving your wife two black eyes? How you breaking your wife's jaw? How you break a limb on your wife? Somebody who's weaker than you. This is one of the degrees that a man has over a woman, is that he's stronger than her in strength. I don't care, even if you know, a woman was acting hard and, you know, thinks she could do this and do that, a man is still stronger than her. That's one of the degrees that a man has over a woman, is in the strength. So, husband, don't put your hands on your wife, and especially not with striking the face. That's a rhyme to do. You shouldn't hit nobody, your children, an animal. You shouldn't hit nobody in the face. That's just something that you don't do. You don't strike anyone in the face. And brothers, if, you know, the sister did something that really, truly upset you, separate the bed. Because if y'all have a good sexual relationship, and you tell her, oh, because, you know, you was acting up and, you know, you was really out of pocket, no sex. Young brothers, I know that will be extremely hard for some of you. But if you do that, a sister will be so upset, like, oh, my God, like, she will learn her lesson not to do it again. Because in order for a man to show that much restraint and he's that upset that he separates the bed, yeah, you did something real out of pocket. So we go to the next. It's privacy. So both spouses have the right to privacy. Again, in Abu Dawud, this is a Sahih Hadith, is there any man among you who goes to his wife, closes the door behind them, covers themselves and conceals themselves by a law of concealing? They said yes. He then said, then he sits after that with others and says, I did this and that. They were silent. He then turned to the women and said, do any of you talk about such things? They too were silent. Then a young girl stood up on her toes so the Prophet ﷺ could see her and hear her, and she said, O Messenger of Allah, they, the men, certainly talk about that, and they, the women, also talk about it. He, ﷺ, said, do you know what they are like? They are like a female devil who met a male devil in the street, and they satisfied their desires with the people looking on. So, again, you don't discuss your bedroom activity. I mean, that's just, it should be common knowledge that's something that you don't do. You don't talk to your girlfriend or your boys about what goes on with you and your wife. Even after divorce, if the divorce was horrible, I mean, it was, the worst. Like, y'all went through the worst. Don't even talk about your husband or your wife in that situation. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about your bedroom activities, period. Don't do it. It's haram to do it. Next is justice. If a man has more than one wife, he is required to do justice between them in the terms of physical things, housing, clothing, food, etc., and nights spent with each. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and you will not be able to affect justice between the women no matter how hard you try. So do not incline towards some completely such that you leave another as if suspended. And if you reform and fear Allah, surely Allah is ever forgiving, merciful. That's Quran 4:129. With that being said, is that if you have more than one wife, you have to be fair and just and equal to them. So, for example, wife A is going to college because she wants to better herself and you don't mind her, you know, seeking out education or whatever. Wife B comes to you and say, I want to go to college. You know, let me look into that. And you tell her, no, like, what do you need to go to college for? Like, why? You only wanted to go because she said she was going. If your wife asks you to send her to college and you're sending your first one, you should always, and this is something that I'm personally stating, brothers, if you have more than one wife, if you do something for one wife, and you may think not necessarily that the other wife may want it or care about it, set the money aside or set whatever aside, the time or whatever that you have, because 9 times out of 10, she's going to want that. And to have a successful marriage, you should be making provisions for both. Regardless if she asked for it, just put the provision to a side, and you'd be like, oh, man, you know, this was right. She said, yeah, I'm a woman, so I'm telling you what women do. Oh, she going to, you know, cooking classes. Oh, I want to take up painting. Brother, you want peace and harmony, set that money aside so the sister can take up painting. You know, is this what women do? It's going to be competition. But you, as the man, sets the standards. Because she's going to call you on it, especially if it's not something beyond your means. Because, hey, if you was able to afford it for your one wife, why can't you afford it for me? And this is where the equality comes in and the just fair treatment. And the next bullet is to be taught her religion. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of you are shepherds, and all of you will be asked about your wards. The ruler is a shepherd and shall be asked about his wards. The man is a shepherd of his family, about his ward. That's in Bukhari. So if you marry a sister and you know that her knowledge is not where she should be, and she even lets you know, I wanna, you know, study more. I wanna learn how to speak Arabic. You know, I wanna be able to do, you know, my Quran recitation and tajweed, you know, when I'm in the house. I wanna learn, you know, learn Arabic so that I can read and write it and things like that, so that I can become closer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I'm reciting Quran and things like that. That is your responsibility to help her and to, you know, teach her. In those situations, you have to make sure that your wife understands the 9 conditions of Salat and also the 14 principles of Salat. A lot of people out here praying and praying incorrectly. You know, as a man, this is something that your wife has a right to know and to do. You should make sure that she's performing Salat. You should make sure if she's fasting, you should make sure she knows what can nullify her fast and so forth and so on. Then once she has that knowledge from you, she can pass it down to your children. This is how it works. You know, have a game, you know, with your kids and your wife. Okay, if y'all learn the surah and y'all know learn, you know, the Arabic behind it, and y'all know this and that, we want I'ma have, you know, movie night. So we get pizza, you know, we sit back, watch a movie, or, you know, we go to the park, you know, y'all wanna go to that park that y'all always like to go to feed the ducks and things like that. Since y'all wanna do that, all right, y'all learn this, or, you know, you learn some hadith and so forth and so on. Make it entertaining. Make it fun. Nobody said you had to sit there with a ruler and be over top of your wife and your children. I said learn it. Like, who wants to learn out of fear? And in some countries, they do that. But again, you know, for the majority of my listeners, and I know a lot of you are African-American. And, you know, this is something else, you know, I heard on a lecture. These kids out here know how to sing every rap, know how to do every dance, twerking, all kinds of stuff, but can't even recite the Al-Fatiha correctly. to name two prophets beside Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, they can't name one. You tell them to tell you five surahs from the Quran, they can't tell you. Brothers, this is why it's important that you are just and fair to your wife and you teach her knowledge so that she can pass it to your children. If you are a brother who has more than one wife and, you know, you have multiple kids and you have multiple, you know, families and so forth, your time is really limited with your children. So that responsibility falls on your wife. If you're not, you know, teaching your wife, what do you think will happen with your kids? So, brothers, make sure that you focus on making sure that your family knows this deen. And before we close out, this is the most important that I felt as though was the most important right that a woman has. And, brothers, I want you to listen clearly to this one. Physical relations, sexual relations. Brothers, you are not allowed to have sexual relations with your wife where you jump on her like a rabbit, jump off, and go to sleep. Not happening, Captain. Your wife has the right that she reaches climax or orgasm, just like you did. That is something that your wife has a right to. And also, brothers, you shouldn't jump on her and jump off. After you both are finished, lay there in comfort with each other. Cuddle up. Be affectionate to one another. But, brother, make sure that woman is getting her rights. That's a right that she has, to be pleased in the bed by her husband. You can get a divorce because your husband isn't pleasing you. That's a right that Allah said a woman has, and Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said she has. And I'll read this Sahih hadith. The wife of Uthman ibn Ma'un complained to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that her husband had no need for women. During the days he would fast, and at night he would pray. Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked him, "Am I not the best example for you to follow?" He answered, "Certainly. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you." The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told him, as for you, you pray during the night and you fast during the day. Certainly your wife has a right upon you and your body has a right upon you. So pray and sleep and fast and break your fast. Don't not gratify your wife, because those are emotional things that bond a man. What is more bonding than sexual halal relations between a husband? That is the most, besides having a child, the bond with the mother and the child, because the child is in the womb, the second closest relationship is that of a husband with his wife. Brothers, it ain't all about you. Your wife likes to be satisfied. It's a fact. If not, we wouldn't have those kind of emotions. This is something that we like. So, to conclude the call, I hope that this call was very beneficial to everyone listening. Again, I do appreciate you immensely for joining me and taking the time out to understand what I was trying to convey, and the topic tonight was the rights of a wife from her husband, according to Islam. I could have gotten more detail in depth with the topic, and I will come back in the future, inshallah, to address certain topics that I've done in the past. you know, to expound on them, to, you know, give more detail and get more in depth with the specific topic. Again, I appreciate each and every one of you, and may Allah reward you and take the knowledge that, you know, I have provided tonight and share with your friends and family. You know, it's food for thought. And, you know, again, if I've misstated something, if I said something incorrectly, may Allah forgive me for my errors. And if I said something that is of benefit, may I be rewarded for it. I mean, if you need to reach me, you know, there's various vehicles. I'm on almost every social network, Facebook, Instagram, Path, Twitter. You know, I have the Blog Talk radio. You know, you can leave messages here on the forum. If you want to listen to other broadcasts that I have done, or Imam Alfred Muhammad has done, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. If you're looking for something that I spoke on or a previous lecture that I gave, just look for my name, Qadir Muhammad. It should be listed there. Playbacks are always available for you to listen to. So even if you know someone that missed the call tonight, you can share that information with them. If you want to contact me via phone, you can call me at 610-836-2120. Not all the time necessarily will I answer the phone, but you can leave a voicemail message or you can text me. You can inbox me, DM me, whatever have you. It doesn't matter to me. It may not be right away that I, you know, respond to you, but I will get back to you as soon as possible, inshallah. Again, thank Allah for giving me the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be able to relay this type of information to the Ummah. You know, I want to make sure that people understand their rights because I care about the Ummah. I care about my brothers and sisters in Islam. Some of the things that I see that go on within the community that I'm familiar with and that I live in and around, it's not pleasing. And a lot of people aren't pleased with a lot of the behaviors that's going on. So I ask that each and every one of you seek out knowledge. That's, you know, that's something that we should be doing on a daily basis. I've been Muslim for 23 years, mashallah, and I try to learn something new every day. Of course, you will never learn any and everything about the religion of Islam because it's that great. It's that exponential that you will never learn everything that you need to know. Even if you lived 1,000 years, you would still not know everything you need to know about Islam, even if you learn something new every day. It's a practice. It's a test. We are in this world as travelers. We shouldn't get attached to the dunya, but we should always be trying to improve our akira, so that we are all reunited with our family and our loved ones, friends and family, in Jannah. Fardus, I mean. So, again, thank you so much for joining the call tonight. Inshallah, I'll have this particular lecture available for playback. And, again, have a great evening, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.